Attention to Joshua, the first chapter, and I'll read verses 7 through 9, and then I'll jump to 15 through 17. The Bible reads, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Verse 15, "Until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he have given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then you shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising." And they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commanded us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as he hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses." And they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commanded us, we would do. And whithersoever thou sendeth us, we will go. According as he has hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses." This morning we'd like to use a theme or subject: be encouraged and respect leadership. Be encouraged and respect leadership. Blessings on every side. And it was God's love woke us up this morning. It was God's love that allowed us to open up our mouths and a sound comes out. Because there's somebody this morning that cannot speak. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. It is amazing to me sometimes how we go through our daily journey knowing not what to expect from 1 minute to another. And all types of obstacles may come our way. But then we see God step in. When you don't know what to do, trust the power and the word of God. And I'm a true believer this morning that God will see you through. Any witnesses in the house this morning? Any of you that have ever felt the presence of God's spirit, you know how you can be fine 1 second and the next second, something just jump all over you. But I'm glad to be one that can feel God's power and his spirit. For no one knows like you know what the Lord is doing for you. In your darkest moments, you might have been sinking and not in sin, but if you were sinking and needed to get up, it was still God's love that lifts you and makes everything work out for your good. We are called for a purpose. And every one of us in here this morning need to be thankful. And if you don't know what your purpose is, ask God to give you an insight as to what it is that he would have you to do. What can you contribute to what God has already blessed you with? We can't boast about what we do, what we've done, or who we are, because if it had not been for the Lord, saints of old used to say that was on our side, where would we be? So I'm here this morning to share a small word with you, to be encouraged and respect leadership. It's only by the grace of God that God has allowed us to be in fellowship, giving praises to his holy and righteous name on this another day. For truly this is the day that the Lord God has made. And we've had our share of rain, but we're thankful that God also gives us our share of sunshine. I'm thankful that God watches over us and keeps us even in a time such as this, in the midst of sickness and death, and even with the government being shut down, God is still blessing. And I believe today, yesterday, last night, this afternoon, tonight, and even if God allows you to wake up in the morning, is a good time to pray for all of those that are having to work without pay. It's bad enough to work and what you're expecting to get won't hardly allow you to make ends meet. But when something crazy allows you to go without your income and you've did what you were supposed to do, you've gone to the job, you did the job, you did what is expected of you, and yet when payday comes, nothing worse than your paycheck being messed up. Okay, if it's not but $2 off, I want my $2. You done figured it up. You know how long you work. You know what they supposed to give you. So you ought to get what is expected and what you deserve. But we have people this morning that have families that are working and not being paid. So we got to understand that there are challenges that are going to come along the way. Many of us live from paycheck to paycheck. So when you don't get what's expected, things are really going to get hard. I heard a long time ago when I was a young boy and a young man that the elders would say, I'm living on a fixed income. And I didn't quite understand that then, but I found out that you can't work overtime and spend a little bit extra over here and know that I can make it up on overtime and put it back. When your thing is fixed, then that's what you're going to get no matter what. And so then you come to a place where you got to work with what you got. Sometimes it works out all right. And sometimes you got to scratch your head and say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to steal from Peter to pay Paul. I got to steal from Paul to pay John. And I don't know what I'm going to do. But at the end of the day, somebody's not going to get anything. How many of you know that even though you may have this bill and that bill, you got to keep a little change for some gas? God knows you got to eat. So as we see it, these next 2 months, these light bills going to smack us down. Oh, Jesus. Too cold to let them cut the lights off. Summertime, you can make it. But in the winter, you better go on and try to get that money together. We have got to come to a place that when things get hard, we got to hold on to our faith. And we got to trust that somehow, some way, God will make a way. Now, that's easy to say when you got food in the freezer. That's easy to say when your lights are on, when your power is on. That's easy to say when your bills have already been paid. But your neighbor that may be going through And for whatever reason, you know, we don't have the same kind of neighbors that we used to have. You don't see nobody going from door to door borrowing a cup of sugar. But back in the day, if it was just a cup of sugar or a stick of butter, you look in there and you find that I need this right now. I don't have time to go to the store. And most of the time, you didn't have a way to get to the store. But you could walk over to your neighbor's house. Say, Sue, I need to just get a stick of butter. And when I get to the store, I'm going to give it back to you. Sue would say, that's all right. Don't even worry about it. Good to keep an extra two or three sticks of butter in the house anyhow. Grits not grits without butter. I seen some folk put the butter on there and then put sugar on it. But where the sugar folk at? I know some of you was in here. But what if you go in there and you open up the container and there's no sugar left? All of a sudden, you don't want no grits. It's amazing how we spoil ourselves. And we get accustomed to what we like and what we can do, and we do what we can while we can. But when things get hard and you get backed up against the wall, you got to pray your way through and believe that God will keep his promise, where he told us, I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians 6 and 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So it gives us a mindset that we always got to keep on our armor, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It is truly, he is truly on his job. The Bible declared that he's going to and fro seeking whomsoever he can destroy. And I know that things get hard sometimes, and sometimes we get smothered with things that causes us grief. But I'm here to encourage you this morning to hang in there and don't give up. If you need to talk to somebody, start talking to Jesus. And then ask the Lord to lead you to whosoever it is that you need to talk to, and allow yourself to have some type of peace of mind. In the times in which we are living now, suicide is nothing new to us. And so that individual that is contemplating that I don't have anything to live for, you need to have somebody to talk to. Wouldn't it be a blessing if you were there when your friend or your associate called you and said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm ready to give it up. And just a word from you would make them hold up and think about it and decide that I think that everything is going to be all right. You don't never know what an individual is going through. And don't get it twisted. Just because they got a smile on their face and their clothes are clean and everything look all right, that don't mean everything's all right. God made us to be strong people. And we know about struggle. We know about when things get hard. We know that we got to do what we got to do wherever and however we can do it. The key to it is to try to do it decent and in order, and stay within the realms of not breaking the law. Sometimes there are folk that even maybe today that may have to steal just to feed their family. But the Bible declared that Jesus said that thou shalt not steal. But now, with our human compassion, if you know that this individual needed it and why he did it, you tend to have an understanding spirit, but on the same token, he has done wrong. Two wrongs don't make a right. But how many of you know that there are folk right now that just got that mindset, I got to do what I got to do to make it? So I come to let you know this morning, don't allow yourself to shut down. We got to learn how to stand together and fight, joining our forces together to declare war against the enemy. The enemy is after us. The enemy is trying to change our mindset that we don't think that we're going to make it. The enemy wants you to think that it's almost over, but it's not over until it's over. I believe if you got an ounce of strength in your body, you ought to be able to tell your God, thank you. This weekend, as we celebrate and we remember the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, one of the greatest leaders of our time, that left a legacy that continues to grow as we teach our younger generations about the struggle. You see, we understand that even before King was born, our people had the struggle. When we think about how we got over here in this great place called America, how they had so many of our brothers and sisters of crushed up all together in the bottom of the ship, halfway feeding them. If you just visualize in your mind what they had to go through, and then to get over here and then be mistreated and treated less than an animal. And so God bless us to be strong enough to endure. If it had not been for the strength of those that was there in slavery, that gives us an insight that somehow, some way, you're going to make it. Now, there are some of us in here, and I'm guilty myself, that have said, well, if it was me, then they have to beat me. But now, you don't need but one good beating. Next time, yes, sir, master. Don't be crazy. But they withstood all of that injustice. And somehow, some of them made it through. And some of them began to stand up for what was right. And even though, you know, it is a bad thing to where you have been drilled into your mind because you are white, I can't even look you in your face. Look where God has brought us from. See, there was a lot of struggling. There was a lot of deaths. There was a lot of bloodshed before Martin Luther was even born. But because like us, he was able to read the history of how we got here. He stood for what was right. He stood for people being treated equal, and he did not like injustice. But the key to Martin Luther was that he didn't want to do it in violence. Our struggle started so long ago that the Lord created him to be a leader. And not only was he a leader of the people, but he was one that knew who God was. And so he treated everybody like he thought that they ought to be treated. A man that lost his life, standing firm on what he believed. And God instilled in him a heart to not fight the battle with violence. He said that through violence you may murder the hater, but you do not murder hate. In fact, violence merely increases hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. So when you get in your mind that you're going to fight this battle, you got to know that there's somebody that is willing. We thank God for a man that had the influence over so many, and because of his leadership. But as we well know, that regardless of who you are or what you do, there's always a critic in the crowd. Always those that are going to complain and grumble about this, that, or the other. Now, We got streets named after the man. We still talk about him just like it was yesterday. But this man called Martin Luther, the same man that so many adored and so many treasured and so many prayed for, there were also so many that talked against him. Even his own color, they said, now you need to change and get up off of this nonviolence thing, and it's time for us to fight. But he had the insight with God that I got my mind made up. And when we look at the pictures and see them being watered down and see him having dogs put on them and see all the many things that he had to go through. But yet there was somebody that said Martin Luther ought to change his mind. He ought to stop doing things that way if he tried to do it this way. And that led me to something by Theodore Roosevelt concerning the man in the arena. It said that it is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the door of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcomings, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasm, the great devotion, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end of the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place should never be with those cold and timid souls who never know victory nor defeat. So that individual that is in the arena, that is working as the leader of God's people, the one that we are supposed to think and try to work along with, we got to understand that we got to get our mouth off folk. We find it very easy. We'll say sometimes, those of us that are believers, we'll say, when they talked about Jesus, they're going to talk about you. But don't worry about what they say. Worry about what God says. Worry about how can we come together as a people. So if you are standing and trying to lead people, don't fret over all the he say, she say. Dr. King was the most important voice of the American Civil Rights Movement from the mid-1950s until his assassination in 1968. So let us live the dream and do our part in trying to make things right. Those of you, and hope that I'm off base on this one, that did not vote. So now, I'm going to think enough of you to think that all of us of age in here took the time out to go vote. But if you didn't take the time out to vote, you keep your mouth shut. Don't worry about Trump. Because if Trump got on your nerve, you'd have went out to the polls and cast your vote so that your voice could be heard. It's time out for being silent. If you're going to stand for what's right, you got to stand for what's right. And every one of God's leaders find that he only has so long, or she only has so long to lead, to live, and to do whatever God purposed them to do. Martin dead. The dream still lives. Even us here in Lexington, North Carolina, this little small city, we knew what it was to go in the back door of the restaurant. So we have to pass those things down to the younger generation that they can go anywhere, anytime, and they have everything put for them, most of them, on a silver platter. You can't even con children into doing nothing now because they already got everything. So if we are going to be productive citizens, the first thing we got to do is vote. You know, we ought to have a praying spirit. But if you don't take time out to vote, then your voice is not going to be heard. There's so much going on in the world right now. And if many of us probably have to do that thing where you say you're going to throw the rock and hide your hand. If you can get Trump by the throat and not get caught, you're choking him until every breath come out of his body. And walk away and put it on somebody else. He got so many enemies. It'll take him a long time to find out who did it. Be encouraged this morning and respect leadership. But leadership got to be decent and in order. Now, as we search the word of God today, and I was thinking about what to say on this special weekend, I was drawn to the man Joshua, one who, when put into leadership, had some big shoes to fill, for he succeeded Brother Moses, Israel's leader, the one that brought them out of Egypt, the one that led them even across the Red Sea. Moses had done great things, but in the midst of Moses being such a great leader, there was a young man that was under his rule. He groomed him. He taught him. He made sure that everything was in place, because Moses knew that one day I'm going to die, and the people are going to still need a leader. A leader that they can respect, a leader that can encourage them, a leader that would do what needs to be done. So the Bible declared that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' ministers, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan. See, Moses led them all the way to the side banks of the Jordan River. But the promised land that God had promised them was on the other side of the river. Now think about it. You done led these people all of these years. You've been through all of this turmoil with them. You've seen their stiff-neckedness. You've seen their hard-headedness. You've seen that they don't want to adhere to the word of God. You go up to talk to God on their behalf and come back down, and they done built a golden calf. Dancing, drinking, having a good time. Talking about the leader. We may as well stayed in Egypt as a slave. At least we had something to eat. That sound like any of y'all this morning? Somebody done did all that they can do to make sure that you have a piece of bread, and you mad because it's not cornbread. But Moses still stood in the gap for them. But now Moses is dead. Therefore arise and go over Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place, words of encouragement. Every place that thy soul or your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. So everything I promised Moses that Moses didn't get an opportunity to have a part of because he's dead and gone. There should not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. See, Moses dead. Moses couldn't give Joshua the instructions. Joshua didn't feel like he was adequate to do the job that was before him. So God, in his own mighty power and divine providence, came and spoke to brother Joshua and told him all that he needed to know. The same thing that I did for Moses, I'm going to do it for you. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. So I'm going to keep my promise and give them the land, and you're going to be the new leader to divide it amongst the people. But in order for this to happen, you got to be strong. You got to be courageous. You got to observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. So when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments, you got to still teach that. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thy mayest prosper whithersoever thy goest. So if you do what I'm telling you to do, anywhere you walk, you're going to be blessed. Don't worry about it if things get hard. On this side of the Jordan, when you got hungry, when they began to complain, they didn't have a rabbit or a deer, but I dropped manna out of the heavens to feed them when they got hungry. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So now, if you're going to be the leader that I need you to be, you got to stay and do four things. God gave him four specific orders. Go over Jordan. Be strong, call the people to inherit the land, and observe to do all according to the law. So all you got to do is do what I tell you to do, and everything will work out for your good. Have not I commanded thee, brother Joshua? Be strong and be of good courage. Don't be afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. Remember the word of Moses. Remember the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, the Lord your God have given you rest and have given you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. So don't be trying to take the cattle over the river. All you got to do is get over the river. And I'll feed you when you get hungry. I'll make a way out of no way. I'll be your shelter in the time of your storm. I'll be the one that will lift you up when everybody else turned their back on you. Joshua, hold your ground. Be the leader that I instruct you to be. Until the Lord have given your brethren rest, he have given you and they have possessed the land which the Lord God giveth them, he shall return unto the land of your possession. Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side, but I got something for you on the other side. And then the people answered and said, Joshua, all that thou commandest us to do, we gonna do it. We got anybody in the house this morning that is not afraid of leadership, that is able to be obedient to what God said do? He said, keep my commandments. Do what I ask you to do. And according as you had hearkened unto Moses, all the things that I say unto you, if you do the same thing, I'll be right there with you. Like I was there with brother Moses. So I want to know this morning, is there anybody in the house that realized that you don't have to be Martin Luther? You don't have to be brother Joshua. But if God puts you in any type of an authority area, treat folk like they ought to be treated. Know that one day everything is going to change, but it got to change for your good. I'm so glad that I got Jesus
and the Lord will make a way out of no way. See, I feel like Joshua now. The Lord God changed our hands. We had Dr. Betts for a mighty long time. But one day over there in his house, he sat right there in the chair and died. And all of a sudden the Bible declares that somebody else had to step into leadership. I thank my God this morning that he chose me.